and contributing, which was fantastic. It made me think we view New Year as a fresh start, don't we? We often look at that ticking over into a new calendar year as a fresh start, a way to start again, a way to get some things right. And it occurred to me that actually with Jesus, every day is New Year, because actually every day you start fresh. If necessary, every hour you start fresh. And it just made me think, you know, we look at this new year and people make resolutions. Actually, with Jesus, every time you go to him, it's a fresh start. Every time you look to him, he will forgive you for whatever. And it's a fresh start. It's fantastic. It just, I like that. I think that's a great place for us to be. Yeah, it's wonderful. So, but that's not what I was going to talk about particularly today. Yeah, just struck me as a good and encouraging thing. So what do I want to talk about today? Well, if you remember back to the beginning of September, I went through some goals for the coming year, and I took that as an academic year. But what I wanted to do is just refresh that today and talk about that again. Refresh your memories on what we talked about. Update you on anything that's happened within those goals for that coming year, and also add a couple of other bits in. I plan to be fairly brief, and then we are going to have a testimony, a story, which I'm not going to preempt, but it is, I've not heard it, but I'm sure it's brilliant. Okay, I'm really looking forward to hearing this. Not to put any pressure, but we'll do that at the end, and that'll be something to go away celebrating with. So, many of these goals will go on beyond this year, and we'll revisit this again in September. We'll reflect back on what God has done and then look to what God's doing, wants to do with us, and what we're looking at doing over that year. But first, I want to read you out part of a prophetic word that I received last year. This isn't all of it, but this is some of it, because actually this puts into context some of the reasons for doing the things we're doing. Not completely, and there are other things in here that I haven't even started contemplating yet in terms of things to come. But let me read this to you. This was brought to me last year. And even though it's for me, I sort of take a lot of this as being for us in terms of me being in leadership here and just, you know, God wanting to speak to us through what he says to me. So you're to get ready, because God's going to take you into the next season where suddenly you are going to start seeing fruit. And the Lord says, I'm giving you keys to open up doors that have been previously shut. And it's got to do with buildings. There is something about a building that you went for that seemed to not open. And God says, I'm going to open that for you in this next season, because there's going to be a more strategic placing of where you meet and what you do. And so get ready. I see automatic doors in this building. And there's something about doors opening easily that's not going to be something you're going to have to push. There's not going to be loads of keys that you're going to have to try and open to get into where you're going next. It's going to be automatic, as it were. And God says, just get ready, because you are going to see favor on you and fruitfulness on you in this next season. And the Lord is really going to place in you a fresh tenacity in the area of spiritual warfare. And God's going to teach you about laughing a lot more. I love that. He's going to teach you how to laugh in order to bring breakthrough. Joy is the most underrated key to strength in the church. And God is going to teach you about joy in this next season in such an incredible way. The Lord is going to give you favor in a community that's been dominated by brokenness and by drug addiction and alcoholism, that you're going to see a strategic connection to those places. And the Lord says, I want you to believe me for instantaneous deliverance for those who have been struggling in that area. I want you to believe me for breakthrough. The Lord will also give you programs and ways of dealing with those in order to bring them into mainline community. And to that end, I see God opening up strategic houses in the community that will act as a safe house for some of these people, will act as a transition point into the next season. And so God's going to begin to add particular businessmen with a heart for this to you. Some of them won't even be in your church, but you'll be connected to them, and there will be a release and a flow of finance for that. Now, it's important for you to know who brought that, because actually anybody could have come and said that to me, and you think, well, anybody could say things like that. But actually the guy who said this to me has a proven prophetic track record. It was a guy called Julian Adams, who you've probably heard of, spoken at Catalyst and various places. And he picked me out in a meeting for which I was well up for. And he just prophesied over me. And he prophesied some other stuff that I'm not going to go into now, some very deeply personal stuff. And as he prophesied that over to me, he was telling me about things that I'd said to God, which in the middle of the night, that no one else knew about. Jared was there at the time with me, and I mean, it practically floored me. I was struggling to stand up at the time under just the presence of God, and it was remarkable. And I'm just wanting to share bits of this really with you, or a bit of that with you in context. Now, I'm not particularly going to go into the bit about buildings at the moment. I need to think and weigh that up, although I'll mention something about that later. And the bit about the community and the houses and things like that, we need to do a lot more thinking about that. I'm not going to particularly comment on that. We've got no plans for that yet. But that is there prophetically, and we want to follow up on that. I know others have got some plans to go along those lines, and we've got to see how we connect those dots up with what God's got for me in that and all that kind of stuff. So it's exciting, isn't it, when God speaks, because you say, right, God speaks, he's got plans for us, so we need to go. We need to do this. We need to get involved in stuff. And the first way we can do that, and the first way I outlined this in September, was prayer. We must be a praying community. Without prayer, we are impotent. Okay? We are nowhere without prayer. So we want to pray. We want to encourage you to pray. We want to build a community that prays together, that seeks God together, that goes for things together in prayer. That's what we want. Now, we can't just suddenly switch that on. That takes time, but it's something we want to see. So with that in mind, what we did is we went to a monthly prayer meeting instead of bi-monthly, and the men's prayer breakfast and the women's prayer breakfast are carrying on. And Jared also, on a Friday morning, gets up at 6 and welcomes people into his home from 6 till 7 on a Friday morning. It's 6 in the morning, yes. It's not just a 6 in the evening that exists. To pray for an hour. Because we want to build a praying community. And we want to encourage you to get along to those times. Now, you might think, well, you know, hour and a half praying, that's hard. It's okay, just come for an hour and a half. Pray once. It doesn't matter. Get there, be alongside people who are praying, and it will spur you on. It will encourage you to pray. You will catch something good. Okay? You will catch. If you stand too close to each other, you might catch something else. But you will catch something of other people's hearts as they pray, and it will stir you to pray. And I firmly believe that the way to become a fervent prayer is to get amongst other people who are doing it. And so once a month on a Wednesday night, instead of life groups that week, we want all of us to gather to pray. We've started it in October, and we are carrying on with that. And we've got one coming up in January, which I didn't write the date down for on my notes, but we've got one coming up in January. I'll look at the date in a minute. We've got a men's prayer breakfast in January. Jared, now, if you want to pray with Jared from 6 till 7, let him know, because he's not always there if he's travelling, so you need to let him know. But we want to build a praying community. You see, with the prophetic, what we don't do is just listen to that and leave it. What we've got to do is we've got to pray about it, and we've got to start acting on it. As one of the phrases that Julian in his book uses is to lean into prophecy, to actually start going for it, because God's promised it to you. And that's a way of testing it too. So we want to pray, and we want to keep on praying. And I would urge you to get involved in as many of the prayer things as you can. I haven't made it at 6 o'clock in the morning yet. I keep threatening to get there, but I'm not very good at mornings. But one day I will. But the prayer breakfast, that's 7:30. That's easy. Okay? It is, because you have bacon beforehand. So what else have we done so far? Well, you know we've done the series on identity in the autumn and leading up to Christmas. One of the reasons for doing that was I really wanted to get some foundational teaching on our identity in, so that we could then use that as a platform for more teaching and teaching along those lines. Because what I want us to be, see, in that prophetic word, it talks about us an accelerated fruitfulness. Get ready for fruitfulness, okay? For people being saved and added. Get ready for it. Well, how do we get ready for it? We need to equip ourselves. We need to be equipped. And doing that was saying, well, who are we in the first place? Because if we don't know who we are, how are we going to disciple others? How are we going to, if we don't understand who we are in Christ, then when we disciple others, we will produce defective disciples, if you see what I mean, if that makes sense. Don't think I'm saying something that's theologically unsound there, but do you know what I mean? If we don't understand it ourselves, how are we to teach it to others? So we need to get a grasp of our identity in Christ. If you haven't heard those, they're on the web. And I please listen to them. They are, I think they're excellent, even though it was me that preached them, but I got the material from elsewhere, so I can say that. Okay, I think it was superb, which is why I used it. Because I listened to it, and I was utterly convicted by it. It's changed me, and it's been really helpful. And then we're going to follow that up, starting from next week, with a new series called Why. So it's about why we believe some of the things we believe. So we're going to look at things like, why do we have the church? Why do we pray? Why do we remember the poor? Why do we share our faith? Because then, building on who we are, what do we do out of who we are? It's we do some of these things. Yes, we do things, but it comes out of who we are. And so we want to look at those things, not just for us, but so we can communicate them outside to others. Because if we don't understand these things, how are we going to communicate that to others? So we're going to do that. And then what we're going to do is we're going to build on that again. And there's these threads of who we are coming through all of this. That'll take us up to Easter. Then from Easter to the summer, we're going to go through the book of Jonah. And we're going to preach through the book of Jonah. And again, looking at a guy and his not just his identity, but what he did with that. What he did with God. Where he failed and where he succeeded. But of course, it still brings mission to the forefront of that. Because that was what he was doing. So we're going to look at that, and we'll share more of that as I'm going to be studying that over the next couple of months in preparation. And so, and we'll get lots of people involved in preaching and this year in all of those things. And that will take us up to the summer holidays. Thinking about summer holidays already. And the summer holidays, what we're going to do is we're going to meet every week. Okay, we're going to make sure there are people meeting here every week in the summer holidays, and those who normally preach won't be. We won't have Grace Church Kids. We never do in the summer. So the kids will be in. But what I want to do is give people who don't normally get an opportunity to preach the chance to do 10, 15-minute preaches on those days. Now, it's got to be kept short because the kids will be in. But I want us to give opportunity to people who don't normally do that to be able to do that. So I'll be talking to people in the lead-up to that. And that will take us through the summer holidays. And then from September, we'll launch into a new thread, a new theme, a new series, which we'll think of and find out what that is and pray about. Just before Christmas, so that's the preaching part, just before Christmas, some of you might have been a little confused because we got Jared and Helen up here and they were given a gift and prayed for, but I don't think we really communicated what was happening there and why we were doing that. And so what Jared and Helen have been doing, they have been leading Grace Church Youth for a long time. Faithfully, brilliantly, wonderfully, and every other wonderful thing I could say about them, because they are wonderful. And they have served well. And our youth are one of the jewels in our crown in this place. You are, okay? Those of you who are here and spread around. And but Jared and Helen are stepping back from that to look at some other things now. And Steve and Claire Moore are taking that on with support from Jared and Helen as they transition that. And so I think they're going to be working together for now, but with Steve and Claire taking more and more and more of that on. So that's what's happening. I just wanted to mention that. What else did we mention? Well, we mentioned Redditch. We have a goal to plant a church in Redditch. That's the end goal with Steve and Helen Gallagher. They felt called by God to do that, and we said, yeah, we want to get behind that. We think that's God doing that. God's brought them here, and yeah, we're in agreement. And what we're going to do is we're looking at launching a life group over there with these guys in the coming weeks, month, whatever date we agree on in the end. And then looking to have a life group there that will start building and attracting people, and then we're going to look at how that goes and with a view to building that actually over time into a church plant. So we'll keep you up to date with that. It's something we'll be praying about, and we'll share the strategy and vision for that as we put that together over the coming months. Okay, I'm rattling through these, but I know we've done these in September, but I wanted to do them again at the start of the year. One of the things I mentioned very briefly, which we have had a little bit of movement on, is we're looking at whether we start a debt advisory service in conjunction with other churches in the town. So not just on our own as a churches together project, but one that we are looking at taking a lead on. Martin Eaton has been researching this, looking into this, looking at two different models, agencies, groups that work with the local church to deliver this. So we're just going through that at the moment. We had a meeting in December where a few from Grace Church who are interested in this got together to look at that and look at how we move forward, how we involve the other churches. We'll be looking to talk to some of the other churches about it over the coming weeks, and then saying, okay, is this something we are definitely going to go ahead with as a group of churches, so not just on our own. Really important. I've felt for a long time the importance of working together with the other churches, and how what an amazing witness that is in the town. And we do that with street pastors, we want to do that with other things as well, and this is an ideal candidate for that. Looking at the prophetic word that came about accelerated fruitfulness, there was a real sense in that, and in other parts of that, of growth. Of growth for us, especially growth of people being saved and added to the church. Fruitfulness, a season of fruitfulness. That was the way it was said, that was what was meant by it. And I want to see that. Don't we all? I think that's something we all want to see, and certainly something that will occupy a lot of our praying this year, I think, in terms of just asking God for people, looking at ways we can draw people in, looking at ways we can get alongside one another with our friends and things that we've been doing all along, but actually that God is saying, you're going to see the results from this. I know people have been, we've all been doing this for a long time in making friends and wanting to see people saved and added. And we have, and that's great. But we want to see more. And we want to see that accelerated fruitfulness. And so we're going to grow. And I think that's where buildings come into it. One day we are going to be too big for this place. I am praying for that day. I have no idea where we'll end up. But hey, God does. And God said in there that he's got stuff for us. And it's not going to be difficult. And so we're going to go for that. And we're going to say, God, grow us. Grow us to the point where this is not big enough, and that we can find somewhere more strategic, somewhere more visible, somewhere where there's permanent signs up saying, Grace Church are here. That's what we want to see. And so that's going to bring growth. And in September, if you remember, I said, we don't necessarily place numerical targets on ourselves. But you know what? In here, I'd love to see 150 people in here by the end of the year. That's adding 40 more. Now, I'm adults and children. It's about 110 of us, all told. I'd love to see 150 people. Now, you may say, is that all? Well, if you've got faith for more, pray for more. Ask God for more. But I'm saying if we can be going towards 150 in this place by the end of the year, that's what I'm asking God for. Now, I'm not saying we'll get there. I'm not saying if we don't, it's a failure. I'm just saying that's what I'm asking God for. That's what I want to see. Now, you might want to pray for more than that. Go for it. I'm not going to hold anyone back on that. And I'm not holding us to figures. But actually, sometimes we want to count like God did, like the people did in the Bible. They counted and they say, why are we counting? Because the people are important here. We want to make sure we know that we've grown, we see God's fruitfulness. We can say, look how God's blessed us, because we were here and now we're here and we can see it. And we're not going to be governed by that, but actually sometimes it can be a really helpful thing to see our growth. Two more parts to this. This part I didn't talk about in September because it was just too early days to talk about. But it was something I was really wanting to happen in this year. And as we grow, there's going to be a need for more leaders, more people to be released into leadership, more people leading in different parts and in different ways in the church. And currently we've got three elders who lead the church, who take responsibility, Moz and Ben and myself. And we're not planning on adding to that just yet. Don't worry, this is not some big surprise news. We're not planning on adding to that at the moment. But we're aware that as the church grows, we need more help in leading it. We need to spread that load to others as well, to help the elders lead the church. And so with that in mind, we need different gifting, wider talents. We don't just want it to be the three people making all the decisions. In the end, the elders carry the authority and the weight and responsibility. But we want help in doing that. And so with that in mind, we are establishing a leadership team that will be helping the elders to lead the church. And that leadership team will be starting to meet together from February. I'm really excited about this. I really am. And we haven't met together yet. Well, we wanted to in January, but dates didn't permit. So from February, that team will be meeting. That team will be made up of three elders and three additions to that. And those guys, I'll tell you who they are, because I think it's a good thing to do that. It'll be Jonathan and Steve, Vincent and Jared are going to get alongside us as elders and help us as we take things forward, as we move forward as a church, as we grow as a church, to expand the gifting in leading the church forward. I felt that's been important for a little while now. Just wanted to get that right and get us moving and grow that and expand that. And we want different people leading things and getting involved in things. And so I think that's a healthy thing for the church. I can't tell you a huge amount more than that yet because we haven't started meeting together yet. But hopefully what you'll see is things starting to move a lot quicker as we get that help. So, one last thing in a couple of minutes, which should give you five, if that's all right. Five or less, that's fine. One last thing. As the church grows, as we see people saved and added, as we as a church do more in the community, get involved in more things, reach more people, all of that needs financing. That's the reality of where we live. We need to be able to finance all of this. And for those of you at the December prayer meeting, you will know that our finances over the last 18 months have been tricky, to say the least. And looks like we might be turning the corner, but we're just ticking over. And we don't want to be just ticking over. We want to be just going for so much and accomplishing lots of goals. And so I want to ask you to pray for money. Pray that God releases money into the church. I want you to pray and say to God, what's my place in this? What's my place in serving and all of that? But what's my place in the finances here, in what I give, in how I give? And I'm not going to teach on that now. I've done that. I did that about just under a year ago. I might do some more later in the year. But if you want to know what we teach on giving, it's up on the website. Just go onto the sermons part, look under my name, and I spoke on that. But I don't believe that God is short of cash, because he's God and he owns everything. So everything we've got, he owns. So I'm just wanted to say that please pray. Pray for money. Pray that God gives you money that you can give to the church. Pray that God gives the church money from wherever. But also, ask God, what's my part in this? What's my responsibility in this, in giving my money to the church? And I'm aware that we haven't communicated much on finances, and we're planning to do that far more this year, because it's important that you know what's happening with the money that's been given. And so we're looking to set a new budget over the coming couple of months ready for the start of the new financial year in April. And then end of April, beginning of May, we will then report to you on that and also on the last financial year. And we are going to do that end of April, beginning of May. We're also going to talk more about when we give and what we give and what we do with the money and just have that as a constant thing. Because actually, I am aware that when that's not talked about, it's a big thing to ask people to give money and they don't know what's being done with it. When actually, you want to know, where are we going? What are the goals? What's our vision? What are we doing with the money? And I'm aware of that. And I'm saying, I really want you to give. And I give. And lots of you do. And we're just hugely grateful for that. Hugely grateful. But I'm aware that we need to communicate more clearly on that. And we will be doing that this year as well. So, I'm really excited about this year. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. But I think it's got something to do with God's going to do some good stuff. And I'm absolutely convinced he is. I'm absolutely convinced. Because if I didn't think God wasn't going to do stuff, wasn't going to move on us, wasn't going to accomplish his purposes through us, then I would quit right now and go and do something else. Because I'd be wasting my time. That's the reality of it, and we are not wasting our time. We are the people of God. We are his children. We are his royal people. We are his children. Our identity is fixed in him, and he will use us to his ends and for his purposes. And there is no greater thing to do with our lives than be in his will and his purposes. And if you're not in his will and his purposes, you are wasting your life. I hadn't got that in my notes, but but it's true, isn't it? We don't want to wait. Our lives here are short. Let's make the most of it. Let's have the biggest impact for God we can have. And let's have so much fun while we're doing it. Let's have fun. Let's this be a year of yes to God. Yes, God, I'm going to do what you've got. Let's laugh more. Let's have more fun. And let's get ready to sing and dance and shout as we see people saved and added to the church.